The job market, good or just good enough?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. New numbers out this morning show America adding 209,000 jobs. Unemployment is up a tiny bit at 6.2%. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, joins us to talk about it. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So that jobs number, lower than expected for this month, but try to put that in context in terms of what we've seen recently.
Look, 209,000 new jobs in July, this would have been considered fantastic last year, but this year we've been spoiled. We have, for the first time in this expansion, chalked up job gains of 200,000 or better 6 months in a row. And we're doing it in a fairly broad range of industries. This month in particular, only 9,000 temps out of 209,000 total hired. That's pretty good.
And there are often these little stories in the kind of nooks and crannies of this report. One that caught your eye this morning is in the government sector. What's going on there?
There were 10,000 government jobs added. That's what actually put us over the top of 200,000. And it's all at the state and local level. This is a really good sign because state and local job cuts were the norm just about every month after 2009. It shows that state budgets are in much better shape, you know, and it's a sign that tax revenues are picking up, which, again, is an indication that the economy's in better shape.
Okay, Chris Lowe with FTN Financial. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Sharing economy startups like Airbnb use tech to help travelers find a place to stay or ride, and they're starting to get more business travelers. Traditional hotels say it's not fair that upstarts don't have to follow the same rules. Sam Harnett looks at the big money battle for business travel.
Airbnb has a new webpage for business travelers. On the front, there's a picture of a loft with brick walls and a nice stereo system. This is not your everyday working man's motel.
Sometimes it's nice to come home to a place that feels a little bit more like yours.
Lex Baer heads business development at Airbnb. He says last year, 8% of the travel done through the site was for business. That's why Airbnb partnered with Concur, a service that helps companies manage employee travel. Concur also works with the rideshare service Uber. It too escapes regulation as part of the so-called sharing economy. Vanessa Sinders doesn't buy that classification.
If you're going to look like a hotel and act like a hotel, you should be treated like a hotel.
Sinders is with the American Hotel and Lodging Association.
Hotels have to abide by so many different safety, security, health code, accessibility requirements, and we think that that should be applied fairly and equally across the board.
Over 30 companies so far have made Airbnb an official travel option for employees. Many happen to be startups themselves. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Brands and corporations pay good money to people from Generation X to figure out how to get people from Generation Y, the millennials, to open their wallets. Now, a new group is getting some corporate love, Generation Z. That's what they're called, at least until somebody finds a better name. Dan Gould is senior cultural strategist at market research firm Sparks and Honey. It is studying Generation Z and its growing buying power. Good morning, Dan. So first, we need to define our terms. What is the age range of Generation Z?
As we're defining it, Gen Z is anyone born 1995 to present. We were looking at, you know, 18 to 15, just kind of as a generalization.
Okay. Now let's talk about how they're different than the young demographics of the past. One piece of advice you give your clients is don't treat Generation Z like millennials. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is that people, marketers especially, kind of make these assumptions that Gen Z is going to follow the same patterns. And we're starting to notice some differences. One of the major things is that they're extremely entrepreneurial in spirit, experimenting with different types of lifestyles and not wanting as much in the way of physical possession. So I think it's a huge switch to think about selling something versus selling an experience to this generation.
We talk a lot about diversity, but it has very different meanings depending on how people look at that issue. What does it mean and how diverse is Generation Z?
Gen Z is getting increasingly diverse. Multicultural used to be these defined segments and lines. But now that things have become so blended, whether literally with multiracial families or thinking about the vast amounts of global media that this generation has grown up with, it all comes together, and Gen Z is not growing up looking at differences, but thinking about how we are all one connected and one big group.
And now the other thing, obviously they were born into a world of smartphones, social media, texting, shorter attention spans is another thing you're finding. What kind of challenge does that present for brands that are trying to connect with them?
I think one of the biggest challenges is trying to speak the language without understanding the language and just kind of randomly throwing emojis or putting Vine videos up isn't always going to work. And I think it's how do you speak in that language without coming off like the parent trying to look cool, essentially. Understanding those little differences and subtleties is super important.
Dan Gould with Sparks and Honey, thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Finally, if you want to understand Generation Z for business or parenting purposes, we've got much more at marketplace.org. Some interesting stuff there, especially about how they talk and how they eat. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.